Anaheim's Lundestrom will circle, get it high slot, then a steal by Tuck, who has a breakaway moving in. He centers in a shot, Gibson! Gibson, save, rebound, score! John stopped the big one, and then the Sabres had the extra player off to the right side of his net. Two guys coming across with speed, and they get the game-winning goal here. 59.4 left to go in the overtime session. And they are there mobbing their teammates as we get a look at a replay up here. A knockdown of the Anaheim defenseman Zellweger is what triggered the actual play moving forward. And Buffalo gets the game winner here. And a tough way to lose the hockey game. The final 3-2 for Buffalo.
Yeah, look, you got to give credit where credit's due. Buffalo comes out on top. I just got to start off by saying, though, John Gibson, One heck of a performance. Still the last tally there for Buffalo, a Superman save. And it was almost a east-west shot coming in the opposite direction. And I don't know if that hit Gibby in the pads there on the initial shot, but there you have it. Number 20 for the Buffalo Sabres, Yuri Kulik. He buries it, and Buffalo Sabres coming on top.
Yeah, that's a tough one to take, but Anaheim competed throughout the night. Hey, you know what? 1 point's better than none, and it's a decent Buffalo hockey club, too. So I thought, for the most part, this game was played pretty even. And either team could have come up with a win. Both had chances there in the OT session, but Buffalo, they get the extra point.
And just, once again, my perspective on some of those plays there, at least defensively for the Anaheim Ducks, obviously possession is key. Now, it was all, for the most part, positive possession to start off this overtime. Anaheim looked like the more confident team, the team willing to make a lot of positive plays here early on, but when it counted, right? The last, yep, really half of that overtime, it was all Buffalo Sabres. They could have tallied even earlier than they did. And just hats off to John Gibson. What a performance. That was just special. You pay big money to just see big-time saves like we just saw from him. So hats off to him. And really, hats off to this whole Anaheim Ducks squad. Look, three-game winning streak heading into this game. You snag a point here, even though you don't snag the two. You force, yep, OT. And out of the last four games, what a stretch this, yeah, club has played.
Very positive, and you got some work to do, don't you? Going to join Alexis Downey here in just a couple of minutes.
Oh,
and
right,
we'll listen to postgame on our way home. So good luck with that, and we will see you coming up in a couple of days here at Honda Center on Monday. Seattle's in town for a 7 o'clock game. Good job, and we'll be listening on the way home.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Emerson Eden with Alexis Downey upcoming. And again, a reminder, there are some good seats remaining for the Honda Center game here Monday, November 25th, with Seattle in town. It's a 7 o'clock game. Our broadcast starts at 6:30. And by the way, it's back-to-back with Seattle after the home game here against them. We go to Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle on Wednesday the 27th. Again, a 7 o'clock start. They're on Pacific time. So we'll see how we fare against this Seattle hockey club. Want to thank everybody involved with our broadcast tonight, and everybody did an outstanding job, and a pretty entertaining hockey game. Sorry we fell a little short, but maybe next time. Stay tuned for Alexis along with Emerson Edom, and then we'll talk to you in just a couple of nights. Again, the final 3-2 Buffalo. Thanks for listening. You're listening to all of this all season long on Duckstream, powered by TuneIn.
Oh, yes. Oh my God, this is awesome.
That's the sound of Michelle getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be donating bases to her Little League program. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you too with a great deal on a fuel-efficient Honda, like the 2024 CR-V Hybrid. To find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you and to submit a random act of helpfulness for someone you know, visit SoCalHondaDealers.com.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water. Nothing else.
From the electricity out on the ice to the roar of the crowd in the stands, there's nothing quite like Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Terry backhand scores!
In this season, you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats at a wide variety of price points. So get off the couch and get into the stands. Grab great seats to see the Anaheim Ducks today at Ticketmaster.com/ducks.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bpbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
Hey Ducks fans, join the Wild Wings Kids Club presented by Chalk and UCI Health. Get exclusive access to member-only parties, an awesome kit packed with giveaways, prizes, and more. It's the coolest club in Orange Country. Visit AnaheimDucks.com/kidsclub for more information.
Anaheim Ducks Hockey is brought to you by UCI Health. At UCI Health, we stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit UCIHealth.org/stop-at-nothing. Stay tuned for Anaheim Ducks postgame show up next on DuckStream. You're listening to the Anaheim Ducks postgame show with Alexis Downey, exclusively on DuckStream, the official 24/7 audio network of Ducks Hockey.
The Anaheim Ducks aren't able to keep their win streak up here tonight, but they were able to come away with a point in this one, falling in overtime to the Buffalo Sabres tonight, 3-2 the final here at Honda Center. Alongside Emerson Needham, I'm Alexis Downey. Emmer, in watching the end of that game, the Ducks had a lot of energy in this one. They had a lot of jump in their play, but Buffalo kind of found their footing late in it and were able to get it, push it into overtime.
Yeah, it was really a back-and-forth matchup all game long, and you just touched on a great second period and really overall great first period for Anaheim, right? But look, Anaheim, and I just mentioned it when me and Steve were wrapping up there, that Anaheim was the puck possession heavy team to start overtime, yep. And then it just seemed like right around the halfway mark, Buffalo took over. And for me, too much respect, too much gap given. It seemed like any time Buffalo touched the puck, even though Anaheim had their guys, and look, sometimes you're going to get that separation, how much separation, I don't know. I think the Ducks a few times were caught a little bit long in some of those shifts, and you could see it in the very end, right? Yeah. Some of that gap had to do with just the exhaust and the fatigue from the skaters on the ice. But also what we turned and talked about just before hopping on this postgame show, AD, is just missed shots, missed opportunities,
yep,
open nets, and then I mentioned missed passes too.
Mm-hmm. A lot of different elements of this game that the Ducks unfortunately weren't able to find the back of the net on some of those open net chances. Also, Emerson, like you mentioned, in the overtime, it seemed like maybe at points there was a little bit of miscommunication too by some of the Ducks skaters on the ice. I know during the broadcast you mentioned Zegras. It looked like there was a missed assignment there, that's the word, with some of the skaters there, and it looked like a little bit of confusion.
Yeah, and I'll have to take a look at that replay on the goal. A little collusion there leading to that break, and
yeah,
what a save there initially. I mean, to think, broken 2-on-0, and wow, Gibby saves that initial one, and just the response. So Gibby saves that initial one. I would like to just see a little bit more hunger, right? And mm-hmm, it could very much have just came down to the fatigue, you know.
Yeah.
Those skaters, total on ice. I mean, you know, AD, just watching that back and forth hockey, trying to monitor who's been on for what. I didn't follow that in depth, but one thing I could tell you, you just hope for that urgency and that intensity to transpire till the very end. But really, the guys gave it their all for the most part.
Ducks using their legs a lot in this one. So were the Sabres. Let's get into the highlights now. Starting in the first period, it was Drew Helleson, 4:02 into the first, that got the first goal. A great pass by Trevor Zegras.
Ballenstein initiates the play to center ice. Ross Johnston's out. He'll be heading to the bench after fulfilling his shift. Anaheim breaks in across the Sabre line. High slot shot. Score! A wrister from Purdy far out. Drew Helleson will get the goal. And the Ducks will get the first score of the hockey game. 1-0 at 15:58 to play in the period.
Not only did I like that shot from Helleson, but I really liked the patience from Zegras. He gets into the zone. He kind of waits, finds his guy, finds Helleson, and obviously it worked out.
He's feeling it. Yeah. He is really feeling it. He's taken, I feel like, the highest percentage plays in every situation. And one thing that I probably just thought about through the three games they've played together, that line so far, of course, Killer joining Leo and Trevor there, but just look, Leo, we all know he just loves to have the puck on a stick. That's mm-hmm. his game. He's the playmaker, but a lot of this game, I mean, got to think that the more puck touches went to Trevor Zegras, he seemed to have longer stretches of maintaining puck possession. So it's just going to see how that dynamic plays out, right? Leo's his whole career just been used to having the puck on a stick, and then same with Trevor Zegras, right? So really it's about the two of them finding out that balance. They were talking to one another lots. Had the pleasure of talking to Z in the first intermission interview. It was a great interview. Hey, he just thinks the world of playing with Leo there. He says he can do it all. And so really it's about working those kind of kinks out. And that's a good, you know, kind of thing to have is having two guys that want the puck, want to make plays, but it's just about finding that right balance.
Two players with similar mindsets, as you said, not really a bad thing, but something that the two of them can work on chemistry-wise. The Ducks leading 1-0 after the first period, despite Buffalo outshooting the Ducks 12-6. We move into the second. Things started to pick up on the end of, there were a lot of hits thrown in this period, and it was the first one from Radko Gudas, laid a big hit on Jason Zucker and then dropped the gloves with Connor Clifton.
The Ducks will look to get a change. Here comes Buffalo the other way, and a quick shot release to the right side. Right pad and the hockey stick of Gibson, who has been good so far. Puck played all the way down. Buffalo first after the puck. Fast pace to this period so far. Here's the puck moved out. Circle in front of the Buffalo netminder, and they're on a 2-on-3 break. Oh! What a hit by Gudas! My on Zucker! We're going to have a fight. Gudas is going to be involved in a scrap after the hit. Takes a couple of right hands, blocks one or two, chopping away with the left hand. What a scrap this is. You can see it coming, and then Gudas puts Connor Clifton down to the ice, to the applause of the Anaheim Ducks faithful.
It was a bone-crushing hit by Radko Gudas that started everything.
Jason Zucker tries to pull up here on the near side entry. And the freight train, number seven, Radko Gudas, with just a huge hit. And immediately coming after his teammates of Fitz, Connor Clifton drop the gloves, and it doesn't end up well for him.
And we're just going to keep it rolling and listen to the next one that happened not too long after that. It was Jansen Harkins laying a big hit on Dylan Cousins, and that turned into a fight with Zach Benson.
Front of the net, a shot. Gibson, a glove save on a close-in opportunity by J.J. Paterka.
And what was interesting about that last chance there by Troy Terry breaking his stick on that shot is, and Stromer, he didn't realize that that puck was trickling backdoor exactly where he was, and a huge hit from Jansen Harkins.
All right, are they going to go? Another fight. Harkins involved at the blue line in the Anaheim zone. He's going to get up. The official did a nice job of getting in between the two, but tell you what, it's becoming a more physical game, and Harkins will get a little bump with the glove from Radko Gudas, is already in the sin bid. Now Ross Johnston wants a piece of somebody, and maybe if you're Buffalo, you don't want to mess with Ross. As we have gloves being given to the combatants in both areas of sitting, we're going to turn it downstairs for the announcement.
Double minor for roughing. Anaheim penalty, number 38, 2 minutes for roughing. Anaheim will have a two-minute power play.
Boy, you don't hear that one called too often, do you?
Well, it's a win-win because Jansen Harkins wins the fight, and you don't get called, or you get called one less penalty. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
So that part right there was interesting to me because did you get why Benson got that there and Harkins only got the Ducks ended up on the power play?
Beats me. Hey.
Maybe something was said on the ice that we couldn't hear. I don't know.
There was a ton going on all game. It was back and forth, evenly matched up team. Two teams coming in this game, 500, and it just really showed. I have never seen so many. You see heavy hits all the time, but I don't know if I've seen a game in which a player has gone down on the receiving end of a hit. I mean, they were big hits, but guys were just being crushed and falling on their behinds there left and right. And Anaheim was the aggressor there in a lot of those circumstances. I mean, look, two big hits, and there was other hits. But Radko Gudas, look, he a bone-crushing hit. He goes in, wins that fight. And Jansen Harkins, and he had a great stick-on-puck, shoulder-on-shoulder play. He was just in his face defensively. He followed up with that big-time hit. And the other player didn't want that. Who was in that second fight there with Jansen Harkins?
It was Zach Benson.
Zach Benson.
Smaller guy, too.
Yeah, smaller guy. Yeah. Probably a weight size differential for sure in that. Didn't seem like he really wanted it, but hey, like I just saw what you did to my teammate. I kind of got to step in here kind of thing.
You crushed my line, mate. Yeah. I guess I got to step in.
It was definitely one of those circumstances. Yeah. And how about the intensity that Jansen Harkins dropped his mitts there? Did you see that?
He was ready to go. I like that. But a little spice.
To that point, I think it really got the head of Zach Benson kind of turtled there at the tail end. I don't think he wanted too much of Jansen Harkins.
Well, it did spark the Anaheim Ducks because at that point in the game, it was Isaac Lundestrom to make things 2-0 for the Ducks.
Zellweger looks for an opening, shoots, and that deflected wide. It might have bounced off Byram, the defenseman, not sure from way up here. Byram gets it again, feathers it all the way down the ice.
Well, it wasn't for a lack of trying here for the Anaheim Ducks power play. I mean, some great passes, great puck movement, and one thing's for certain, this power play and these units they're just playing fast, playing quick. That is the objective.
Penalty over with now. They score! Penalty was over, and a bouncing puck rolled by Luukkonen. Wow! And that's as crazy as a play as you'll see. The Ducks have a 2-0 lead after a goal by Isaac Lundestrom, and good for him. He works hard every shift, been playing hard since the beginning of the year. He's rewarded with a goal tonight.
That was one of those plays where it felt like it was in slow motion going into the net.
Yeah.
No, I felt that way as well. Just great net presence by Isaac Lennestrom. You get rewarded by going to those gritty areas. And, yeah, Steve and I were trying to just through the Jumbotron, through the TV by the booth there, kind of decipher whose stick that touched. And it wasn't quite clear, but they obviously deemed it Isaac Lennestrom's goal, or maybe they found a replay sight line that was a little bit more clear than ours there initially. And what a goal. And as Steve said on that great call there, he worked so hard. There was a chance there on a broken 2-on-1 early in the game where he just threw it at the net and crashed the net. And he's been playing so hard. And we mentioned it live as well. He's an underrated player. Oftentimes it seems like he doesn't get enough credit for the impact he makes. And one of the reasons, in my opinion, that this Ducks team has kind of exploded here this last four games is just the depth play, right? Mm-hmm. Of, you know, guys like, of course, Brett Leeson. We've been talking about that for a while now. But that secondary, just guys ready to go. Ross Johnson, he's a guy who continues to just play consistent. There was a play that Ross Johnson, he extended his stick. The puck was coming far side and near side. It was a rim. And just like there was glue, Gorilla glue on his twig, he was able to capture that puck. And I'm like, that's a play you see from a first line, elite level, point per game player in the National Hockey League. He's just so ready to go. He's so in tune. So is Isaac Lennestrom, and what a huge goal that was.
It helps when you're pretty tall. Brett Leeson there, he's got that reach and able to get some of those pucks that might be a little bit further to get for some other players that don't have the wingspan that he does. So the Ducks up 2-0 at that point, and then it was the Sabres' turn. It's Peyton Krebs who got the next one, getting their first goal of the game.
How about last shift? Frank Vatrano getting two glorious opportunities to bury. And I know he's going to be back ready. And you got a hunch that he's going to bury one of those here soon.
Oh, there's a shot. Gibson falls on top of it. But I think the puck crossed the goal line first. That's the original signal from the referee behind the goal. And it looks like Peyton Krebs will be credited with the goal that puts Buffalo within one tally now.
And it was a pretty quick play. Not long after that, it's Jason Zucker that got a breakaway goal. It was a tie game going into the third. Not a lot of action on the end of no goals in the third. We moved into overtime, and that is when the Buffalo Sabres were able to get it done. It was Yuri Kulik, the overtime winner, with just 59 seconds left.
Anaheim's Lundestrom will circle, get it high slot, then a steal by Tuck, who has a breakaway moving in. He centers it, a shot, Gibson, save, rebound, score. John stopped the big one, and then the Sabres had the extra player off to the right side of his net. Two guys coming across with speed, and they get the game-winning goal here. 59.4 left to go in the overtime session.
One of those classic saves that you get to see, old-time NHL, John Gibson just rolling. It looked like it maybe hit up in the upper area, like you were saying, all game.
And that save, I imagine Steve making that when he's referring to his street hockey days. And if he's in net, maybe he's pulling off those kind of saves.
He's rolling around.
Who knows? But look, Gibby, you wanted the team to pull it out for him and his stellar play, and he was the aggressor all game, as he always is. I was watching the replay, and I couldn't quite see it there, but his blocker save there, I think it was midway mark of the third period, where it goes through the Buffalo Sabres player's legs, and then Gibby has no clue where it is, but he's just so technically and positionally sound that it just – it randomly hits his blocker, deflects, and it's I know, quite frankly, nothing about goaltending, but I know a little bit, but the surface level stuff.
Yeah.
But just I could see within that moment his blocker angled up to a position where it's like, okay, if it hits me anywhere, my body's angled to deflect in the corner, in the blocker. It just it hits his blocker, but is perfectly angled in like a crouch position that it just goes the corner, and I'm like, whoa, I learned something right there. So it was quite the sight to see.
Maybe we sit you down with Gibby sometime. You
take some goaltending IQ classes.
Yeah, that's a really good catch there by you, Emmer, and just seeing the way that play shook out. But we're going to keep talking about this game here tonight. We're going to get to the text line on the other side of the break. But before we go to break, Jack Daniels, the only good thing that comes from waiting is whiskey. Make it count. We'll be right back.
No. Oh, my gosh.
That's the sound of Becky getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be getting her sheep a predator-proof pen, and we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with a great deal on a fuel-efficient Honda, like the 2024 Accord Hybrid. To find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you, and to submit a random act of helpfulness for someone you know, visit SoCalHondaDealers.com.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit BPBI.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
The scrape of blades, the clash of sticks. Hockey's more than a game. It's unrelenting, never give up moments that make you feel alive. And so you commit to the weekly ups and downs. The long road to the playoffs. You wear your heart on your sleeve and your jersey with pride. And when you're there for your team, the NHL Shop is there for you. Check out the largest selection of official NHL gear at NHLShop.com. Fanatics experience.
The Anaheim Ducks are back on the ice, and this season you can be in the stands to experience it all live.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
Shop a wide variety of seats for every match from Ticketmaster, the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks in the NHL, and make sure you don't miss a single moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered. You can securely sell your seats to other fans with just a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water. Nothing else.
Lace up those sneakers and stretch out those hammies. The Anaheim Ducks 5K presented by Arrowhead Water is back on February 23rd. Run, walk, or waddle with other Ducks fans throughout Great Park in Irvine. Each participant will receive a race day shirt, finisher's medal, and a free ticket to a Ducks home game at Honda Center. Visit AnaheimDucks.com/5K to sign up.
Welcome back into the post-game show. Before we get to the text line, we're going to go down to the locker room and listen to what Brian Dumoulin had to say to the media after this game tonight.
Just first your overall thoughts and performance for tonight?
Yeah, I thought it was a good performance. We had a lot of chances. I mean, it seemed like they played like a little bit of a loose game where they kind of lure you in a little bit of a track meet, trying to get up and down the ice, but I thought we defended hard. Gimme made some good saves when we needed him to, and I mean, I thought we played a good game, especially second, third.
Obviously, kind of turned the wrong way, the two goals in 50 seconds. What did you see on this, especially the second one? I think that pass was coming to you in the slot, right?
Yeah, it was like a little bit of a scrum. It seemed like coming over the blue. I saw we had numbers; they were changing. It seemed like Zucker just kind of waited, was almost hoping for a bounce like that, hanging behind us, just jumping up in the play. Obviously, it's tough when the guy deflects it in the slot, goes right to him on a stick. So, I mean, I don't want to be discouraged from jumping up in the play and trying to create chances. But obviously, it was too quick at the end of the second. Not ideal.
In a tight game like that, and down the stretch, what's kind of the message on the bench, and then kind of what are you telling the guys out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the third, we didn't want to give them any easy offense. We didn't want to give them any any chances from our turnovers, especially at the blue lines. We knew the longer that game went, we had a good chance of winning that one. We had some good chances, and both boys played pretty well.
Assembling in the third, you guys made a real push. I think at one point the shots were 8 or 9 to 2. What did you think you were doing well, especially in the first half of the period there?
Yeah, I think we were pressuring them really hard. We were forcing turnovers and creating some extended zone time, which led for them just punting it out and us being able to play on a regroup and have fresh guys out there forecheck. So I thought we did a good job of changing smart and creating a lot of ozone time.
Been playing with Drew Helles in the last couple of games. He gets the goal tonight. What have you kind of seen from him playing alongside him the last few games?
Yeah, he's very calm out there. Makes really good plays and really good reads. He can talk too. It's nice playing with him. He can skate, just get the puck out of trouble too. And it's been fun playing with him. Obviously, being back on my left side, it's been good to play with him. And each game, I try to get better and better and more comfortable with him.
Frankie, a lot of near misses tonight. It seemed like he's getting a little tense. I mean, he is a goal scorer. He's a guy who's really in the right here. I know you played with a lot of great goal scorers in your career. How do you keep a guy level and steady when he's going through a stretch like that?
Yeah, he's just got to believe himself, keep shooting. I mean, he's got such a good shot. I've seen it all this year. I've seen him in training camp, seen it before, and I know him from the past that he's such a good shooter, such a good shot, and I know it's going to come for him. I know it's only a matter of time.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Dumoulin there talking in the locker room to the media. You know, as we said, we don't really get to hear from him too often. And he's got that calming presence, that veteran part of him, obviously, with the places he's been with the Pittsburgh Penguins and the team that he grew up with, basically, in the NHL. But I really liked listening to some of the things he had to say.
Yeah, and funny enough, me and Dumo go way back, and we got a mutual buddy there in Bo Bennett, of course, and they're really close. So we got to just kick it a couple, maybe even a decade ago now. Jeez, time has really flown. But I've gotten to know Dumo just over the last decade or so. Just as you mentioned, just a very humble individual. Mm-hmm. Soft-spoken individual, and probably in the Pittsburgh organization, right, you have just the voices in that row. You have Crosby, Malkin, even though the English is probably still somewhat limited, he's still a vocal presence, especially at this point, after a couple cups, and the guy's just clearly just love a guy like that. But Brian Rust, I mean, the list goes on and on about maybe I shouldn't even say Brian Rust, but there's a lot of guys, Sid being, of course, one of them, that are emotional guys, very vocal guys, and not quite sure, but I could imagine that Dumo was a guy that just kind of maybe stays in the background, per se, a little bit, taking things in, good role model, sets a great example. I tell you what, his on-ice, his patience, and it's kind of goes along with his soft-spokenness, but he does have that opportunity. Youth players tuning in right now, you got to leave your niceness at the door. When you step out on the ice, you got to leave your niceness at the door. I said youth players are adult league players listening to. Look, if you're a nice individual off the ice, you got to leave your niceness at the door before you step on that ice and just kind of get that hunger. And that's exactly, I think, the definition of Dumo. Quality, very nice individual off the ice, but when he steps on the ice, he finishes the hits. Mm-hmm. He's in your face defensively. Great stick, long stick, and it's very active. And the best quality about his game is his D-zone exits, his first pass, the patience, and we saw it. It was behind the net. Solid 2 seconds. He could have done a flip. He could have gone strong side off the glass. He could have done a ton of different things. He proceeded to wait, let the far side winger there open up. It was almost like a spinorama backhand out. I'm like, oh, my gosh, he is so good at doing that. So, once again, leads by example. Maybe not the most outspoken guy.
Yeah.
But, look, you need that. He's won 2 cups for a reason, and this Ducks team is very lucky to have him.
He also touched on one of those last questions there was the missed opportunities for the Ducks in this game. There were quite a few open net opportunities that the team did not capitalize on, and you could visibly see the frustration from them. I mean, those are chances that obviously would have made a difference here tonight, but What do you tell someone, you know, when they're missing those opportunities?
I don't know. Are you hinting at if you had a glove and stick down there, you would have been backdoor and pop one of those
in? I can't say I would be able to, but I could try. I could try my best.
No,
but it's such a fast. It happens so fast.
I'm joking. I'm joking in a sense, but yes. Seriously, like
you got to make those.
And it would be here's what I'm gonna say. It would be. Almost knocking our guys to say that they're not capable of putting those in, right? So
right.
I think I'd be disrespecting our players and the skill sets they have to allude to them not bearing down on a lot of those gimmies. So, look, it could have made it a four-game win streak, but I think we can make the argument that in the past three games, the three-game win streak heading into this one, that those were going in and they were bearing down. Leo Carlson, right? The game winner there in Chicago. I mean, you want to talk about being boxed out on the outside and still getting a stick on it. If you transfer that hunger and mentality to tonight's game, I think the Ducks pull it out. But that's just all part of it.
Let's get a text in before we head to break. Emerson, a message we received here. So close. Anaheim played a real good game. Zelly, Hellison, and Gibson specifically had a great night. Killorn had a real bad night offensively, capitalizing with grade A chances. Otherwise, it could have easily been 5-2. Just switch Cutter and Killorn in the lineup, and we'll get the W against Seattle. Interesting take there. Just switching the lineup a little bit. I have to flip the lines here. So Killorn moving to the third line with Lundestrom and Leeson, who have, like we said, been playing really well. What do you think about that?
Look, based off tonight's performance, and it's tough because, you know, if you're judging based off of the games heading into tonight, I mean, Killers just, it just makes sense, right? And look, they've played three straight games together or a three-game win streak. But judging by, you know, this game, it's a toss-up between do you shuffle the deck that much? And that is a drastic change, right? Do you shuffle the deck that much? With having still 7 points in the last four games, you pushed it to OT, 2.500 teams. It was a toss-up ball game. It could have went either way, of course, till the very end. And but I don't know yet. Let's see one, if not two. I mean, Killers played a great stretch of hockey. I know some. And we all saw Leo. I mean, it was a brilliant look. It was so quick.
Yeah.
20-foot pass, a little bit north. And it just goes right through the wickets of, Killer's stick there. So I agree. We all saw it. But Killer has, he's won two cups. He's a veteran. He's afforded, just a game that gets him back into it. And I think tonight was the night. 5 points and four games heading into it. I think this was a mulligan here tonight. I think, look, you wait one, maybe two more games. Granted the success here in this last stretch. And then, hey, I don't mind the idea. I don't know. I think Cutter skated well. I think that whole line played very good. But let's call what it is. The top line, that trio for the last three games heading into tonight has been really good.
And we talked a lot about them in the pregame show, just how good they have been and how well they're working together. So I'm with you. I think keeping them together little bit longer, see how it works. Also, like we've been talking, just seeing how Zegras and Carlson are able to kind of change up or get more comfortable with each other and handling the puck because of both of their skill sets. I think that, you know, giving them a little bit more time could suit the Ducks well.
And I just feel like that line seems more elite, right? Doesn't it seem like a little bit more razzle dazzle just between those two?
Yeah.
Like, Zegras is just, he's found it. He's just kind of, playing that mentality of what do I have to lose or, you know, high risk, high reward or, you know, clearly, and even going back to your talks with him, just maybe overthinking it at times, but he just, that's how he's playing. He's thinking less out there. He's just doing it. There's zero guessing, and it's been fun to watch.
He's going with his gut, which in hockey, sometimes you have to do. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have the final segment for you of this post-game show, talking about the Ducks and Sabres game here tonight.
Tired of shouting Freebird at your radio? 'Cause I'm as free as bird. Tune in.
has you covered with all the best songs from the golden age of classic rock. Head up north for some Rush prog rock goodness. Hit Detroit Rock City with Kiss's greatest hits. Head down south for more classic Skynyrd songs and so much more. Turn things up to 11 with TuneIn's exclusive classic rock hit station.
The hottest country tracks from today and yesterday make the journey that much better. That's why TuneIn's Country Road Station should be your soundtrack. Whether you're in the car, at home, or anywhere in between, we're spinning pop and country jams from Zach Bryan, Maren Morris, and Elle King. Plus some classic gems from pop country's golden age. All on TuneIn, all on your devices. So check out TuneIn, the app that lets you hear your world.
Hey, y'all, it's Garth Brooks.
Ever wonder what's on Garth's personal playlist? Welcome to the Garth Channel.
My music, my stories, and all my friends.
Haven't I heard from...
And some songs you might not expect.
Then, from the Garth catalog, we got it all.
Thunder
Road. The music. The stories, The Garth Channel. Search The Garth Channel on TuneIn or tell your device to play The Garth Channel.
Looking for an app to hear all your favorite music, news, sports, and more?
He's been president before. I know exactly
what
he
is. We've got all of your audio all in one place, right here on TuneIn. Play your favorite stations, like Que Buena.
Mi corazón, muchas gracias por estar en sintonía, por comunicarse con nosotros.
ESPN Radio.
The ball out here, but the one thing DeMarcus does very well is he's
the Daily.
Paul, we have spent a lot of time over the past year talking about higher education.
And so much more. Whatever you love listening to, you can hear it all on TuneIn.
TuneIn's Coffeehouse Station is open for business. So pull up a cozy chair and start soundtracking your day with light acoustic classics from today's most soothing songwriters, like indie geniuses Bon Iver, soft rock newcomer Phoebe Bridgers, and acoustic legend Jack Johnson. All in a soul-warming rotation on TuneIn's exclusive Coffeehouse Station. Just search Coffeehouse on TuneIn to listen.
The biggest classic rock hits do just that. They hit hard. And on TuneIn's classic rock hits, you'll find only the best in high-octane awesomeness. We're talking rock gods like Led Zeppelin, Kiss, AC/DC, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and so many more. So for those of you about to rock, search Classic Rock Hits or ask your smart device to play Classic Rock Hits on TuneIn.
We're back here with the post-game show, wrapping up this game here tonight. Buffalo, a 3-2 win in overtime over your Anaheim Ducks. You know, we were talking about this message during the break here, and I do want to talk about it a little bit here on air. A message from Fizz, he said, "I do not understand the strategy of who he put on the ice during overtime." So, interesting point there, because the Ducks started with Olin Zellweger, Frank Vatrano, and Isaac Lundstrom in the beginning of overtime, and then obviously switched a little bit. Pavel Minchikov saw the ice, Carlson, Killorn, you know, How does a coach decide that? Would it be under Rich Kloon? Would he make that decision?
You know,
I'm curious.
It's interesting. Steve and I were chopping up back and forth relating to another area of overtime. I saw when they proceeded to kind of break away from their little huddle, and I'm mm-hmm. like, I just missed who would orchestrate that. But if I could imagine, it would be Rich Kloon. I mean, power play, you know, man advantage.
Yeah.
Now I know it's even strength, but, you know, you have the more time, right?
Yeah.
And so that would be my guess. But maybe it is a task split up between Coach Thompson. And if you think about it, I mean, 1D is involved in it, mm-hmm. right? So I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, you know what, it's a shared responsibility between Coach Tomer and Rich Kloon. So
yeah,
I think. But judging based off that, or at least kind of more directly responding to the message, if I'm coach, if that's maybe the question, who would I go with? Look, I think you got to go your top dogs mm-hmm. right off the hop. But that said, Leo Carlson, NZ. Then I would go Frankie V and Troy Terry. And Brett Leeson with how he's been playing, mm-hmm. right? And look, there's always someone's going to be tired, miss rotation, bad time, or whatever. And then, of course, Isaac Lennerstrom and Cutter Gauthier. But to your point, Cutter didn't get any.
I didn't see him get any.
Yes.
Unless I missed it, but I did not see him on the ice
and
for that.
And with his size, with his, you know, speed and, I mean, overall shooting ability, just something to ponder. And look, this is early on the season. Guys are going to separate themselves from the pack, and it's going to be a little bit more definitive come turn of the new year or heading closer to just crunch time, really. So I think maybe it's still early on, feeling it out.
Yeah.
Hey, then come January 1, we'll know who kind of the go-tos are for OT.
And they haven't had to go to this strategy really much in the season. We haven't had a whole lot of overtime. But I will say, I mean, you mentioned it too, the early parts of overtime, you know, the Ducks were getting their chances. And we saw, I mean, Olin Zellweger had that early chance. And then there was that two-on-one with Vetrano and Lundestrom. So, I mean, the three of them did create a little bit. But then after that, you know, Buffalo was able to get some of their own chances.
And slipped my mind there, that early chance there from Olin Zellweger. I mean, what a play.
He took it himself.
Yes.
Confidence.
Then, yep. There was a play early on, and Steve alluded to it. And I know I said something in regards to it. But him tracking down and beat the other Buffalo player to that puck. I mean, he was flying. And then just on that OT chance there early on, he was absolutely flying again. And he's an efficient skater, smooth. Powerful, obviously not the longest legs in the world, but boy, do they just the rate of transition with those legs, they're just buzzing out there. So he's fun to watch, and what a play that he created for himself. Just early on, hits the outside of the post, what a chance that was.
And I felt for him too on that final play where he ran into or collided with one of the Sabres skaters, and I'm thinking it was actually Owen Power he collided with, which Owen Power is 6'6". Olin Zellweger is 5'10". That's a big size difference, and I know, Emerson, we were talking about it a little bit. I'm not sure if Zellweger had his head up on that play in the sense of I don't know if he saw Power coming there. And
well, how you would envision a size differential playing out is
now
exactly
you can really
how
think
it transpired.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the size differential it immediately showed, which was an unfortunate collusion there.
Let's get to another message here. Let's see, we got a lot of messages. Thank you everyone who sent us a text here tonight. Let's see. Red from Buena Park. Hello, Red. Just one word, poise. The Ducks stayed with it after a rough end to the second when things went a little south. Starting from the Red Wings game, the Ducks have been a very connected group and did a good job overall defensively keeping the Sabres to the perimeter. That's what we were talking about, just how defensively this team is looking a lot better. And I think, honestly, it's leading to some more offense.
You're right on that. And because the goaltending's, of course, always been there.
Yep.
Goals are, this last stretch, easier to come by. Maybe tonight, of course, not so much. And then it just gets into that situation where if you look at, you need power play and goals and lots of them in order to separate yourself. And that was one of the points that I brought up in this game. It's just, you know, power play. Can this be like a 2-for-4 game, right? Mm-hmm. Or a 3-for-4 as Detroit did to us, even though we got the 2 points over them. But yeah, 0-for-2 on the power play here for the Ducks, and Buffalo didn't score either. But 0-for-2, it just... it was one of my Hanukkahs of the game, right? Yep. You want to create that separation, these tight, close games. It's what made that Chicago game, close, not getting a power play tally in both games. Not a whole lot of power play opportunities last two games here. Just the opportunities to do it, and that's not to say that they weren't passing around, moving it well. I thought the power play looked quite sharp, but it's just about lowering that bottom hand on that twig and putting them in the back of the net.
Yeah, I thought the power play was really active. They were moving the puck well, and they were also not stationary, which was very noticeable. That's something I feel like has been noticeable about them in general when they've had the opportunities. I like Brett Leeson on the power play, too. I think that's great to have that big size at the net front because I mean, he's going to block some vision there. But yeah, you know, you got to find those lanes a little bit more, get more shots off when they had the opportunity. I think in total, they only had 5 shots on goal on the power play tonight. So on the 2 chances, not too bad, but probably could have got a couple more there. Emerson, I wanted to update you because I know in our pregame poll, we had both picked Ross Johnston for leading the Ducks with hits tonight, and it was a 3-way tie. It was Johnston, Harkins, and Vetrano. 4 hits, each of them here tonight. And the Ducks finished with 25 total hits on the night. Your final quack here.
Well, I was going to say something in regards to the ketchup bottle and that needing to just, I don't know, it's clogged a little bit tonight. But we'll make sure that happens. Yeah. And I don't know. Do I get a ketchup bottle tattoo? One of these? Am I going that far? Has it come to that point? I mean, we've started something here, and I don't know if it's going to get to a point where, look, I got so much random tattoos. So at this point, it doesn't really matter. I would be all for slapping something like that on my skin. But my final quack is, hey, ketchup bottle, little clogged tonight. Mm. Let's tap the side of that baby and get that ketchup flowing. Come on.
I was at the store yesterday and was looking for a glass ketchup bottle, and I don't know that they sell them out here. So I was only seeing. Okay, no, you're shaking your head.
Where do they get off? Is what I'm saying. They don't have the classic Heinz ketchup bottle anymore?
I didn't see it, but maybe I need to go to another store.
Okay, we're running low.
I want to get one for us.
We're running low on the classic Heinz ketchup bottles. That means I feel like I have to get a tattoo now. If we're running out, it's that much of a timeless item. You know, who knows? So anyway.
My final quack here tonight, let's see. I think, you know, I want to see this team continue to do what they've been doing. I love the forecheck that they've had these last couple games, obviously helping them with their win. Second period in particular, I liked a lot, but got to see more shots. 24 shots in the end, it's not enough. Buffalo has 32. They're able to get to the net here a bit more tonight. I want to see more shots still.
You got away with the low shot total against Chicago, right? And it was, oh boy, it was tight. Chicago's got the record in front of me that they have. And look, you keep a team like that in tight. Hey, win's a win. But, you know, it's just you're tiptoeing the line at that point. And you string a couple of games of low volumes of shots together like that. And, you know, odds are maybe you're going to lose more often than win. I mean, when it gets to a 24 shot, so what is that, back-to-back, right on that 24 shot on goal mark, back-to-back games, it's just something, it's got to be a point of emphasis. AD, you and I talked about just the face-offs. So shooting, it's gotten better at times. You know, it has progressed recently, but face-offs and making sure moving forward to your final quack there, got to start peppering the tindy a little bit more.
The Ducks were only 18% in faceoffs after the first period here tonight. They end the night, though, a little better. And I just missed. Where did that go? Here it is. 34% in faceoffs tonight. Ryan Strome in particular had a rough night there. So the Ducks got to continue to work on that. But the next game, the next opportunity they have will be Monday night here at Honda Center. They're going to be taking on the Seattle Kraken. It's a home and home. We're here at Honda Center Monday, and then they go to Seattle on Wednesday next week, right before Thanksgiving. So a little bit of a busy week of hockey before they come back home for a Black Friday matinee game. But as I mentioned, the next game will have a 6:30 pregame show for you on Monday. And if you want to stick around and listen to the replay of this game tonight, you can after the break of the Sabres and Ducks. Otherwise, we'll see you on Monday, 6:30 p.m. pregame show for you. Thank you so much for tuning in for the Ducks Stream postgame show. For Emerson Edom, I'm Alexis Downey. Have a great weekend.
TuneIn is bringing people together through radio. Listen to all your favorite music, news, sports, and more all in one place. And hear all the audio you love, whether you're a music lover, interested in what's going on around the world,
I'm not going to answer hypothetical questions, number one. And I
want to catch your team's live play-by-play. It's all right here on TuneIn. Just sit back, relax, and listen.
Nothing sets the tone for your day like country hits. That's why TuneIn's exclusive Country Roads is here to make your journey just a bit better. With classic, feel-good country songs to bring summer vibes all year long. The top 40 hits you just can't get enough of. TuneIn's Country Roads are your route for the best in country music. Just search Country Roads or ask your device to play Country Roads on TuneIn for a little Southern hospitality now.
Regional Mexican Radio has a track record of bringing good vibes and classic Mexican tracks all day long. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, is here with our exclusive Éxitos Mexicano station, carrying on the radio format of Regional Mexicano with top artists. Listen to La Música del Momento from La Séptima Banda, Calibre 50, all ready to bring your day the best Mexican music. And don't forget to upgrade to TuneIn Premium for all music with no ads.
Sometimes rock and roll makes you want to take off your shirt and throw a TV out the window. Other times, you want to relax and take it easy. For the latter feeling, head to Soft Rock Hits on TuneIn, your home for exploring rock's shy, sensitive side.
It's you and me forever.
Search Soft Rock Hits to listen.
TuneIn's Coffeehouse Station is open for business. So pull up a cozy chair and start soundtracking your day with light acoustic classics from today's most soothing songwriters, like indie geniuses Bon Iver, soft rock newcomer Phoebe Bridgers, and acoustic legend Jack Johnson. All in a soul-warming rotation on TuneIn's exclusive Coffeehouse station. Just search Coffeehouse on TuneIn to listen. You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to cue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, this is awesome.
That's the sound of Michelle getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be donating bases to her Little League program, and we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with a great deal on a fuel-efficient Honda, like the 2024 CR-V Hybrid. To find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you and to submit a random act of helpfulness for someone you know, visit SoCalHondaDealers.com.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big, official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra, the rock holiday tradition returns. Saturday, November 30th, two shows, Honda Center. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Bring the whole family to the all-new show. Soaring guitars, dazzling lasers, and enough pyro to keep you warm all season. Don't miss Trans-Siberian Orchestra, live in concert.
From the electricity out on the ice to the roar of the crowd in the stands, there's nothing quite like Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats at a wide variety of price points. So get off the couch and get into the stands. Grab great seats to see the Anaheim Ducks today at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level.
Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook and the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit BPBI.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
Avoid the penalty box. Parking at Honda Center will look a little different this season. So know before you go and be sure to review all updates, maps, and more at HondaCenter.com/parking to reserve your spot for the game.
Thanks for listening to this exclusive presentation of Ducks Hockey. Stay tuned for our replay of tonight's game on DuckStream, the official 24/7 audio network for the Anaheim Ducks.